it's neat just to look at the video, see all that took place just yesterday, but all that took place before that is a lot of work behind the scenes, a lot of spending time just volunteering, packing backpacks, praying, getting just stuff organized. What an exciting time. Hey, if you enjoyed that, go ahead and jump on our website in the next couple days. There's a full-length video, Brett, right, is uploaded to our website. There's some pictures there. Listen, I just want to say something real quickly. There's a viral picture going around of me standing behind Robin and Stacy, and I have this look on my face. My wife would tell you that's the look I always have on my face when I don't know where to take something. So anyway, I appreciate y'all making sure that was on Facebook. Thank you so much. That's like, what is that dumb look I have on my face? And Melissa's just like, you always look like that. Thanks. Appreciate that. Well, we had a chance. See, nobody has commented on the fact that I'm wearing a sport coat this morning. I'm so excited. We went home on Friday. We went, you know, the great thing about having all of your earthly possessions packed in boxes and crammed in the garage in the basement is whenever you can find stuff, it's like Christmas. Amen. We just open stuff up and we find stuff. And I was so excited. I pulled out one of my favorite dress shirts on Friday. And I got it out this morning out of the closet. And I said, babe, I want you to iron this for me. She said, you want to try that on? I put my favorite shirt on, and it was a little tight. And I said, can you iron this? She said, you may ought to find another shirt. That looks a little tight on you. I said, well, maybe I've grown a little bit. Now, the problem that I've realized is when you're living out of a suitcase, you just wear stretchy clothes. I didn't find my stretchy pants or my stretchy shirt, and apparently this one's bigger, y'all. Just don't worry. So we're in the process. Y'all just pray for your pastor. I found out that once you hit the age of 50, your fat and the rest of your body, it's harder to let go because they've become good friends. So my fat cells and my healthy cells have become really good friends, and they're sticking tight together. So we're starting a process in the fall of trying to slim down. Amen? The slim down preacher challenge. Travis has already started. How much have you lost? 8 pounds just in the last week or so. That's right. Makes me sick. All right. So, hey, go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to continue. We're doing something a little different, and we're doing something a little bit different. This is not going to be your typical message this morning, because this is going to be kind of an advertisement. This is going to be promoting and getting you guys ready for shifting gears in the fall to a different type of ministry, a more intentional focus on what we're doing here as the body of Christ, making sure that we're all on the same page and making sure we're all headed in the same direction. Now, if you've not been a part of what we've been looking at over the last, the entire summer, we've been in a series called Entitled. That's what some people think. But anyway, we've been in a sermon series entitled Anointed. And we've been looking at what took place in the early church after the crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and then ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And he sent to us, he told the church, he said, I'm not abandoning you. I'm not withdrawing my presence. He said, I'm going to send the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And over the last several months, we've been talking about, what does it mean to live an anointed life? What does it mean for the church? What does it mean for disciples, those who are pursuing a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit has anointed us as disciples of Christ? So we've been unpacking that over the last several weeks. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit, who He is and how He works in our lives, how He is continually guiding us. Now, I want to encourage you real quickly. We're going to look at three very specific passages of Scripture this morning. And the first one, I didn't give this to him this morning back on the in the back. So if you'll just get your Bibles out, turn to Acts chapter 2. If you've got your tablet or your phone, whatever your Bible app is, just go ahead and get that out and flip over to Acts chapter 2. You know, old-timey preachers used to say, I love to hear the rustling of pages as you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Now people just say, I like to see the warm glow of your cell phone as you're looking at the Bible app on your phone. But that's whatever works for you. Just turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be down in verse 41. Because I preached on this a few weeks ago, and we talked very specifically about this passage of Scripture. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message. You see, Peter was preaching a message here in Jerusalem. It says that there were several people. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Then fear came over everyone, and many signs and wonders were being performed through the apostles. Now, something exciting is going to take place in just a few moments. These young ladies have come forward having shared that they have made a personal decision to give their lives to Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of it. Amen? I mean, you don't just say, hey, I want to be a Christian, baptize me, and I'm done. I'm good to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. That's the only thing I'm going to do of a spiritual nature. What the Word of God communicates to us is that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, there are some steps. There's a process to becoming mature in your faith. There's a process to becoming mature and growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ and becoming the person that God has designed you to be in relationship as a disciple of Jesus. It says that they were baptized and they devoted themselves to teaching. They became part of a fellowship. They became part of this community of faith, and they began having this powerful relationship with the body of Christ, and they began praying. They began communicating with God. And it's exciting to see how young people especially, but people of any age, when you give your life to Jesus, you're saying, I want to become a disciple. I want to become a follower. I want to put myself under the apprenticeship, under the mentorship of some spiritually mature people that are going to guide me into a process of spiritual maturity. Amen? That's what we should all want. Every single person here should want to get better and better and better. It doesn't end. There's no say, okay, I've done this, so now I'm check that box off and I'm done. Now, I don't know about you guys. How many of you guys here are Falcons fans? Just say, rise up. Like five people. All right, so that's about how I feel about it as well. But anyway, how many of you people love Alabama Crimson Tide? Say, roll Tide. Man, look at that. A bunch of Alabama peeps in the house. I'm sorry to all you. I apologize to all you Georgia Bulldog people. Just had to get that out of my system. Football season starts in a few days. But anyway, here's the thing. I was listening to sports radio the other day, and they were interviewing one of the young, the rookies that has just joined the Atlanta Falcons. He's one of the offensive linemen that they drafted. And this guy, probably 21, 22 years old, making millions of dollars playing offensive line and just eating a lot. I mean, that's basically all they do. They eat a lot and they stand in the way. I mean, that's what they do. And they were interviewing this guy who's one of these hotshot new offensive linemen. And they said, well, tell me, what have you been doing since you got drafted? And it was an interesting conversation because I was driving to the hospital, as a matter of fact, on that day. So I had a little bit of a long drive, and I was just listening to this long conversation with this guy. And he said, well, ever since I got drafted, he said, they gave me the playbook, and I've been learning all the plays, and I've been learning the positioning. And he said, then I showed up at rookie camp, and I realized, and here's what he said. Here's a guy that they're paying millions of dollars to play professional football, to play for the Falcons, and hopefully protect the quarterback this season and let him actually throw to Julio Jones, product of Alabama. But anyway, here's the thing. He said, I realized how much I didn't know, right? He says, I've had to learn the playbook. He said, now I'm learning from offensive linemen, guys that have been in the league several years. And he says, and they're teaching me about footwork, and they're teaching me about positioning and different types of blocking. And I'm listening to this very interesting conversation, and I'm thinking, so here's a guy that the Falcons paid a ton of money, and he's saying on public radio to a sports station affiliate here in Atlanta, he's saying, I found out that I don't know a whole lot. They're paying him millions of dollars, and it's like, he said, it's kind of like starting over again. He says, it's like everything that I knew up to this point, I'm having to relearn. So they're paying him basically for the potential that he's going to be able to absorb the teaching that they're giving him now as a rookie offensive lineman. And he's relying on some guys that have been there for a while. He's relying on some coaches and some mentors. He's studying the playbook and he's learning all of this stuff. And he's saying out loud, I realize that I've got a lot to learn. It's kind of like being a disciple of Christ, isn't it? It's kind of like saying, you know, and here's the problem. A lot of times when people join the church, ladies, we're going to do our best not to do this to y'all starting off today after you're baptized. But a lot of times in the history of most churches, our goal is to get people to a point of making a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and having them come into a baptismal pool and dunk you under the water and bring you up and say, praise the Lord, you're a new believer. You're now have been made new and whole through the person of Jesus Christ, through the anointing and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Good luck, you're on your own. Isn't that what the church typically has done in the past? Amen? That's what we've done. And there are a lot of you this morning who are sitting on these pews today in church at Devotee, and when you, no matter what age you came through church life, you were baptized and you were put into a Sunday school class and made me say, okay, learn this stuff, pay attention, because now it's up to you to figure this all out. And so many churches, our big goal is just to get people to join, get your name on the roll, baptize you and say, look what a great job we have done. But what's taking place then in the book of Acts is something powerful. They're saying when people came into a saving faith in Jesus Christ, they shifted things into high gear. Now, they said, you have become a disciple of Christ, and we want to teach you. We want you to be committed to understanding and learning what the Word says about living for Jesus, how you might effectively become a Christian, and then begin to become a witness of the power and the saving grace of God in your own life. So after Jesus' resurrection, he met with his disciples over in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, And he says he was meeting with them on this mountainside in Galilee. And listen what he said. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And this is what he said. Jot this down. Go back and look at it. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, let me stop for just a second. Leave that up there. This is the first opportunity. Jesus now has come back to life. He's been crucified. He was dead, buried, and in the grave. He's now come back to life, and he's speaking a word to his disciples. And this is the thing. He says, look, I have come back from the grave. I have demonstrated to you that I have power, that I have authority over all things, even death in the grave. And the very first thing that Jesus communicates to the church is this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then this is what he says. We call it the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And he says, and remember this too, I'm going to be with you. I'm not leaving you. I am always going to be with you until the end of the age. What he was saying was, for this period of time on the earth, until I come back again, the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, God, in another form, is always going to be with you. He says, you're going to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I want you to catch. He said to them, the most important thing, the priority he gave them, he says, I want you to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, we do a lot of stuff in the church. And a lot of the stuff that we do in the church doesn't fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus Christ has given to us. Amen? I mean, we do a lot of stuff in the church, and we have received this command to make disciples. But we've not really been intentional about looking at the processes, developing plans to actually make disciples. We've not been real intentional about saying, I want to help you grow, move from point A to point B to point C. I want to help you grow from like this guy at Falcons training camp, from being a rookie who says, I've got a whole lot of new stuff to learn, to becoming a starter on the offensive line and saying, hey, I can handle my own with anybody else. What we're saying is we want to take somebody, no matter what part of your journey you are on in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and say, hey, we want to help you become everything that Christ has intended for us all to be. Now, the church of our generation is very good about talking about the need for salvation. If you pray this prayer, then you're going to be saved. We say, just pray this prayer, check off this box. But listen, that's not what the Word of God says about us becoming disciple makers, is it? It's not. That's not what the Word of God says. Nowhere does Jesus command his disciples, hey, if you'll get people just to say this prayer real quick, and then we'll check that off on a box and say, look how good a job you're doing. You say, well, Pastor, this doesn't seem like a warm and fuzzy preacher sermon today. And it's not. Because what we need to understand for every single person here today, what we have to ask ourselves is, are we doing all that we have been called to do to fulfill the Great Commission? To be intentionally about this process, calling, and commission that we've been given to make disciples intentionally. To grow people in their walk with Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. People want salvation, but they don't want to put in the time to become strong disciples of Christ. There are a lot of people who say, I'm a believer. I meet people all the time. I'm a Christian. You know what I always ask people? Now, I'm going to teach y'all this. This is a sneaky preacher trick. Y'all want to learn one of those? And I asked it to so many people yesterday at the block party. I'm not going to lie. People would come through the line and I would ask this question, Miss Donna. I would say, we're so glad to have you at our block party today. And, oh, we're so glad to be here. And here's my question. This is where it gets sneaky, all right? And I'd say, now, where do you guys go to church? Oh, we go to so-and-so church. And I say, really? Who's the pastor over there? And somebody told me yesterday the name of the pastor, and I said, he's dead, isn't he? Well, he was sick, but I don't think he's dead. It was so funny. Several years ago, I met somebody in town, and I said, hey, I'd love for you to come visit our church. Oh, I've already got a church. I said, really? Well, where do you go to church? And they told me the name of their church. And when they said the name of their church, I thought, I got them, man. Their pastor at that church was one of my best friends. And I said, who's your pastor? And they called the whatever name they made up. And I said, well, I thought it was so-and-so. Who? I said, well, I thought it was so-and-so. Oh, he's not the preacher over there. I said, well, he's been there for 6 years. He's one of my best friends. Oh, well, maybe he is. I hadn't been in a while. And here's the thing. What so many people want to do is they want to audit the Christian lifestyle. Do y'all know what an audit is? They want to audit being a Christian. An audit is where somebody goes to class to get the information, but they're not required to do any of the work. That was one of my favorite classes in college when I just audited a class. People say, aren't you taking notes? I said, nope, I'm just auditing. You know, I'm not going to be tested. They don't have to take any of the tests. They don't have to do any of the homework. They just show up. They're there for informational purposes only. They want the data without the responsibility. That's an audit. It was my favorite class in college. And that's what some people do every Sunday. They audit Jesus. I want to hear the information. Just give me some information, but don't hold me accountable for actually doing what the Bible says that I should be doing in living my life out every day. Amen? I just want to audit. I'm here to audit church. I'm here to audit Jesus. Preacher, preach something good this morning, and I might come back. I might put a little bit more in the offering plate next Sunday. I'm just here to audit, and if it's good enough, I'll come back. But hey, do you want to be part of this discipleship process? Nope, just here to audit on Sunday mornings. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to take any tests. I'm not going to change anything about my life. I just want to hear something warm and fuzzy that's going to make me feel good for the next 30 minutes. Maybe it'll linger into the afternoon, and then I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm here to audit. And that's not what God's called us to do. What we want to do is we want to change this generation. Every single person in this room today, if you're a disciple of Christ, if you say, I am a believer in Jesus, I believe that Jesus came into this world, that He lived a perfect life, He was sinless, and He gave His life on a cross. He shed His blood to cover over my sin, and I want to give my life to Him and live in such a manner that other people will see the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, and I want to lead other people to Jesus. That's what God has called the church to be about in our generation, and we're sitting here saying, I just want to audit. I just want to hear the information. And we've got to be about saying, we're here to change the culture. I want to be about intentionally transforming what it means to be a disciple of Christ. I'm not just here to check something off my box for the week and say I showed up, but I'm here to become an anointed child of God, a disciple who is also a disciple maker. We want to begin creating a culture where being a disciple is important, but beyond that, we want to fulfill the calling that Jesus Christ has placed on the church when He proclaimed the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And here's the thing, there are a lot of people who become very frustrated with different processes. I've become frustrated as a pastor, as a youth minister, about processes. Because you start a process and people dip out halfway through. They say, I don't have time for this. You know, I was talking with somebody from Lifeway several years ago. I was at a pastor's alpha conference, and it was really neat. They brought in a group of pastors from around the country, and I said, what I'm seeing, I said, you guys produce all of these 12-week discipleship processes. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, the problem that I see in my church is about 6 or 7 weeks in to a 12-week discipleship process, people quit coming. And I said, so many people say, well, I don't have time for that. And they said, well, yeah, we've noticed that too. That's why we're trying to shorten our processes. And here's the reality. What we're saying is, I'm only going to commit to being a disciple for a couple of weeks at a time. Other than that, I've got other priorities. Right? Y'all are like, preacher, you're meddling. We got stuff to do. But here's the thing. The biggest barriers to intentional disciple making are two key things. Is knowing where and how to start. And the second thing is time. I just can't commit to the time to learn all of that stuff and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I really want to get in your kitchen for just a minute. Now, I don't know everybody here today. I met some folks as you were coming in. I met some, maybe this is your first time here today. And if it's your first time, I don't apologize for what I'm about to say. But here's the thing. Here's the reality. So many people say, well, I am a disciple of Christ. I don't go to church. I don't study my Bible. I only pray when things are going bad. Does this sound like Christians today? I don't tithe. I'm not involved in any organization that teaches me how to live my life for Jesus Christ. I'm just kind of out here winging it, and I stuck a fish on the back of my car, and we call it good. Is this stepping on anybody's toes? So here's something that causes us to stagnate. We can't just show up for church service and say, if I just show up for church service maybe once or twice a month, that's going to make me into the disciple of Christ that I've been called to be. That's not going to work. It's not. And they're folks, I'm going to be brief, Micah. Do you believe it? I'm going to be brief. Here's the thing. We've got to be to the point where we're saying, I'm ready to go all in my relationship with Jesus. I want every person here to think about this. If you understand, especially if you're here today and you say you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, I want you to think about this. Are you really all in your relationship with Him? Have you really completely sold out and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? Because if you really have, I'm just going to be honest with you. you're going to be in the house of God worshiping and praising Him. You're going to be in Bible study with other disciples of Christ. You're going to say, look, my biggest priority is learning how I can live for Jesus more faithfully and more effectively in my generation. Because here's the thing that we've gotten away from. We show up for church once or twice a month and call that religious. But it's not what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to show up every day saying, I want to be completely sold out and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God so I can be a powerful and effective witness for Jesus everywhere I go. And not only am I a disciple of Jesus, but my goal is to become a disciple who is a disciple maker. And that's the big thing. The fruit of a disciple is not another disciple. Because here's the big thing. We might baptize 7 or 8 people a year. Some churches may only baptize 1 or 2 people a year, and they get excited. They say, wow, we baptized a couple of folks this past year. See what I'm saying? And God says in His Word, I want you to be discipling every single day of the year, making disciples, creating disciple makers. Because the fruit of a disciple is not just another disciple. The fruit of a disciple is a disciple maker. So what we want to be about at Devotee then is creating a church filled with disciple makers. Now, the goal isn't just a few more disciples every year. Our goal is a church filled with more effective disciple makers. Do you hear me? That's the goal. We've got to realize that making disciples isn't a myth, or it's something reserved only for people who attend seminary. Somebody said, where in the world are we going to get disciple makers from? The seminary's not cranking them out fast enough. Look up here, church. If you were to look to your left, real quickly, look, y'all look at me like, is he serious? Look to your left. Look at the person next to you. I don't care how cute that. Don't make eyes at them. Now look to the person over on your right. Now y'all eyeball each other. Now look at the person on either side of you real quick and say, you are a disciple maker. Now, look at the person on your left or right and say, I was just kidding, but you better be. You see, the reality is, and I'm not going to say what I'm about to say to offend you, I'm just saying what I'm about to say because it's the truth. The reality is, there ain't a whole lot of disciple making going on up in the church house. Amen? Amen? There's not a whole lot of it going on. And I'm not just talking about Devotee. I'm talking about churches all around the country. Folks, in case you didn't realize, the body of Christ, churches around the country are declining in membership. We're declining in baptisms. We're declining in attendance. We're declining in tithes and offerings. If you look at some of the reports of the body of evangelical churches in our generation, it's going down. Why? We are not becoming a disciple-making body. If I was to ask, if I was just to walk up to you today and say, hey, I would like for you to disciple so-and-so. Do you know what the majority of people in here would say? Well, I don't have time for that. And if you really thought, well, I'd like to, the next response would be, well, what do I do? Right? What do I do? So let me tell you what we're going to do. And I love this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing, he says, my son, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Look at this real quickly. He says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What was he saying? He's saying, I am initiating a disciple-making process. I've taught you the truth about Jesus. The things that have been revealed to me, I've passed on to you. Now what? He says, I want you to find some faithful men who also you can equip them so that they can pass on to other men. And what he's saying is we're starting like a multi-level marketing evangelism process. He says, you find a couple and you equip them, and they'll find a couple and they'll equip them. And the next thing you know, this whole process of evangelical multiplication is going to take place, where we have created disciple makers and we're transforming our generation. We're transforming our culture. Now you say, well, Pastor, you've said a whole lot about being intentional about disciple making. So what? Well, here's what. In a couple of weeks, on August the 11th, the staff, we've been talking for, I guess, the last few months about this process of intentional disciple making. We spoke with church council about 3 weeks ago, and we said we've got to become more intentional about disciple making. We've got to become more intentional about creating people who understand how to share their faith, who understand what it means to be a Christian. Just last Sunday, I had someone come up to me after church and said, Pastor, I want to know, what do I need to know to be a more effective Christian? And I said, just hold on, I got your answer next week. And here's what we're going to do on Sunday evenings, starting August the 11th. We're going to start an intentional disciple-making process called the Disciples' Path. I learned about it in Nashville through a training that I went through. And churches are beginning to reinstitute initiate and introduce to churches intentional discipleship. And the churches that are doing this are making disciples. What are we going to be teaching for folks that are new in their faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? Why did Jesus come? How do I explain who Jesus is to other people? How do I have a daily quiet time? How do I share my faith? How do I memorize Scripture? All sorts of basic stuff. And then we start getting into it a little bit deeper. What am I teaching others? I'm going to teach others about not only who is Jesus, but what did Jesus do? How do you follow Him? What are the priorities of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? What's the cost of discipleship? What are the fruits that I should be bearing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? And it's, now listen, I'm going to blow your socks off. Are you ready? This whole process is going to take about 2 years. So, well, I'm not committing to that, preacher. But we're going to do it in 6-week increments, okay? We're going to do 6-week increments, and I'm not going to go into all that. You're going to get a big email, and we'll be publicizing this in the coming days. But here's the thing, guys. We have to ask ourselves, are we serious about being the body of Christ, or are we just going through the motions and calling that church? Amen? Are we serious about being disciples who are making disciple makers? And as far as I'm concerned, for what God's called me to do as a pastor, what we've been talking about as a staff, what our church leadership has talked about, what was really neat is a few weeks ago when we were talking about this with our church council, that very same night we left here and went down the road to Rushton's Hope, and it overwhelmed, and I swear, I know y'all thought it was a setup, but I didn't talk with Ron ahead of time. For those of you that went, you know what I'm talking about. We sat for an hour talking about intentional discipleship with our church leadership and then went down the road to Rushton's Hope. And Ron Cook, what he's teaching the homeless in our community is intentional discipleship. Teaching them how to share their faith. Teaching them how to explain or how to express to other people what it means to have your life change. Walking them through a 12-week intentional discipleship process with the homeless in the community around us here in Griffin. And folks, if Ron down at Rushton's Hope is teaching the homeless about being intentional disciples and disciple makers, if it's good enough for them, I think it's good enough for Devotee. Amen? So here's what I want to challenge you to do. In a perfect world, I would like for every member of Devotee to say, I'm committed to being an intentional disciple maker. I'm committed. 6 weeks at a time, Pastor, I'm going to come, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to catch a breath, and we'll jump back in for 6 more weeks. And we're going to do that for the next couple of trimesters, for the next few semesters as we go through this process. But I want, man, I'd love it if every member of our church would say, at the end of this process, we'll have a church filled with intentional disciple makers who know who they are in Christ, who completely understand the Word, understand who Jesus is, understand God's plan for our lives, and have a burden and a passion for the Great Commission and for making disciples in our generation. That's what we're asking you to do. And I'll share more information with you over the next few days. But guys, listen, I believe it's transformational. I believe that we can not only transform the life of this church, our fellowship and our focus, but being intentional about reaching the lost of our community with the gospel. Amen? Here's how we're going to do this invitation. We've got some folks here today who have some personal decisions they've already shared with me. But if you're willing just to be part of this process, I want to ask you just to come down and say, I want to be an intentional disciple maker. I want to be a disciple that makes disciples. We're going to have some prayer time over here, praying for Mr. Lamar. But listen, we also want you to just come down to this altar and stop and say, hey, I want to be a disciple maker. I want to transform this church, and I want to transform this community and reach our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together as we begin this time of invitation. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so very much, God, for the ways you're blessing us as a church. God, I want to thank you for your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I want to pray that over the next coming weeks and months, God, that you are just beginning to call us into a closer relationship with Jesus. To call us into a more intentional lifestyle of reaching people with the gospel and making disciples of our generation. God, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us in power as you draw us to new places in service and ministry. For those here today, it all starts first with knowing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as these young ladies have, I want to encourage you, maybe you need to walk forward and just pray and say, Pastor, I need to be baptized. I've never followed Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never made that public. Maybe you need to come forward today. If you want to join this church and say, I want to be a part of what God's doing here at Devotee, however you need to respond, you do so right now as the Holy Spirit leads in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ.
This morning, y'all come stand with me real quick, and I'm going to have you up here for a second and have you sit right back down. Hey, this morning, Donnie and Judy Harris come to unite with us as members at Devotee Baptist Church. They're transferring from a sister church in our area. If you rejoice with their decision to unite with us, amen. Hey, we're excited. I love what Don said to me. They've already been serving here in the church. They were here yesterday for our block party. Brother, you were running around with a bunch of kids during vacation Bible school. It was great, a bunch of girls nonetheless, that wouldn't stop talking. Amen? Amen. They had the most talkative group of young ladies I've ever seen. But we're excited to have them here, and we're excited about what God's going to do. He told me yesterday, he said, we've been praying about joining this church because we want to get plugged in and use our spiritual gifts to serve here in this church. Amen? That's exciting. Hey, I'm going to ask you guys to be seated for just a second. They're going to come back before we're dismissed, right after baptism. Mike is going to lead us. I'm going to ask Donnie and Judy to come and stand down front. Isn't it exciting just to see these young ladies and following their faith, through faith in Jesus Christ? Micah, you were done, right?
Yeah.
I counted four. I was.
That was the fun part, but now's the challenging part. As their families and their church families here today, I think that was like the perfect message for this day, because now we are challenged. They've done their part.
Amen.
Christ has done his part. Now it's up to us to disciple them and moving forward in their lives.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, listen, I'm going to ask the Harrises to come stand down front. Would you just come by, love on them real quick today? Tell them how excited you are to have them as part of the Devotee family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, pray that you just anoint us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would truly become a disciple-making church. God, doing all we can to transform this generation for the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless.